Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
I am so pleased to have Tom Rainer, Dr. Tom Rainer, with us today on this podcast. I am who I am, and I am where I am, and all of that because of Dr. Rainer and his platform he provided me on a podcast many years ago. He gave me my big shot at the big time. And how are you doing, Dr. Rainer?
Tom is here. Dr. Rainer left the building.
Oh, okay.
Tom is here, and you overstate my importance in your arising from mediocrity to above mediocrity. So
just above it, huh? Okay.
Oh gosh, Mark, you had an incredible platform. If I enhanced it in any way, I am grateful.
Well, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed being with you for all those years, getting to know you on a personal level, and counting you as one of my really close friends and confidant, and you've walked through some challenging times with me, and I'll never forget that. And I appreciate it very, very much. I do.
Mutual, my friend, mutual.
All right. I want to talk about some really cool things today. First, I want to start with an article that you wrote about denominations in decline. And, you know, for years, the old, more liberal, so to speak, mainline denominations were in decline, and the evangelical denominations, we were still growing. But you printed some things the other day that said that has changed. Can you unpack that for me just a little bit?
The thesis that has been pervasive for many years, Mark, really was stated in a book written by Dean Kelly in 1970 called Why Conservative Churches Are Growing. Dean Kelly was with the National Councils of Church, which was a progressive liberal, of course, organization. Mm-hmm. For him to write that was a bombshell that basically took everybody aghast and said, my goodness, these conservative churches really are growing. Here's what we found, Mark. Over the years, that became more of correlation than causation. And what I mean by that is conservative theology alone does not lead a church to growth. Now, you have to have foundational biblical theology to be a church, but that alone does not lead to growth. And so we've had a lot of orthodoxy. But to use the fancy word, we haven't had a lot of orthopraxy, or to put it another way, we've been kind of ignoring the Great Commission in many of our evangelical denominations. So where are we now? In the world of evangelical denominations, there are two that have any track record of growth in recent years, two of the major evangelical denominations. One is Presbyterian Church of America, and it is a very small denomination. It reminds me in many ways, and this is, please, for you PCA people, do not take this as an insult. This is just a story. It reminds me of my first church of seven, and then we the Rainer family, added five to it. And so the next day, the attendance was 12. And I said, you know, we almost doubled our church in the time I've been this pastor. Well, when the base is small, it's easy to have a percentage increase. Well, PCA just has not grown much numerically. But because it's a relatively small denomination, 400,000, if I recall, don't hold me to that, the percentage has looked good. But right. Then there's the Assembly of God. Assembly of God have followed the path of many Pentecostal holiness churches, but now as a denomination, they stand alone as a growing church. But here's the other thing about Assemblies of God. Their growth rate is slowing. Okay. That was a precursor to what happened in the largest evangelical denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention. Right. The growth rate started slowing. And there were a few people who were, you know, raising the flag and saying, something's happening here. But it was not until the precipitous decline began that it really got people's attention. And then speaking of the SBC over the last three reported years has the largest numerical decline of any denomination in history. So there's your largest evangelical denomination. So that's the background.
Okay, well, I want to dive into that a little bit. It's really interesting stuff. First of all, I remember, like you said, the bombshell, like, oh, wow, these liberal denominations are acknowledging that it's conservative denominations that are growing. But, you know, I live in this replanting world of dying churches, and, you know, in our Southern Baptist group, Most Southern Baptist churches would say we believe in the Bible from Genesis to the map in the back. You know, that's who we are.
Right.
Yet we see about 800 of those churches close every year. So, you know, I've always been stuck with the question, if a church really believes all of the Bible and completely, you know, you shouldn't close. That's what we always thought. But yet the opposite was true and still true. So I love what you said about that. You can believe everything, but if you don't do it, it's not going to make any difference. And I think sometimes we just relied on the fact that we're people of the Bible. So our churches are going to grow. Our denomination's not going to decline. And maybe we got, well, we didn't maybe. I think we got lazy with the Great Commission. And we almost, in some ways, became satisfied with the fact that we are the people who still believe the scripture. We're the conservatives, and that's going to be enough. And, you know, clearly that hasn't been.
Right.
I got some great PCA friends, so you're right. It is a growing denomination, but you're correct. It is relatively small in that sense. And also, again, the precursor, that's a great analogy about Assembly of God, because they sort of trailed us anyway in growth and everything. And that they can probably look at us and say that's their future. Now, with all of that said, you said that Southern Baptists are hugely declined. That is, a lot of that is membership. And we've actually increased in baptisms just a little bit in the last year or two, based, I guess, perhaps going against the COVID year. But I think in membership, Dr. Rainer, don't you think that's somewhat a redefinition of biblical covenant membership among Southern Baptists? Don't you think some of the decline in membership is because we have redefined membership and perhaps cleaned up the roles in some of these churches?
I would not have had an answer to that objectively until a recent study by Ryan Burge, who, by the way, has come on the Church Answers team and is he's the guy who introduced us to the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S.
Oh, so yeah.
He's an incredible researcher. And anyway, I could go on and on about it. He did an analysis of that. I would have to go back and look at all of his presuppositions, but he did an analysis of that, and he said, no, according to what we're looking at, the primary decline in membership is not the purging of the roles.
Really?
It is a factor, but it is not even close to being a majority factor. So you would have a declining. I would have to go back and reread it, because if you had asked me that question 3 weeks ago, I would say, I'm not sure, Mark. I just don't know. But he was curious, and he went and did an analysis of where the growth is going and where we are losing. And he said, you know, it's really not that. Now, one of the things he did was, I know that he compared attendance, and we do have reported attendance. You can argue how accurate it is, but Southern Baptists have reported attendance, and that has declined as well. And so he was able to use some of that data to say, no, membership really is declining, and this is why. So I would urge anybody to go to Ryan Burge on his Substack and look at that information, because now it's saying, nope, not the case. Back to your point of baptisms increasing, Mark, I want all churches to consider, this is just my plea, consider your base 2019, not 2020 or 2021. Because in 2019, that's how many people you were reaching for the gospel. If you say you had an increase from 2021 to 2020, what you're saying is people are starting to come back so we can baptize again. Let's look how we're doing compared to 2019. That is a true base. And let's don't say, I'm not just talking about the SBC, I'm talking about any church. Let's don't say, oh, baptisms are up. No, let's say baptisms are up from the previous year, but how are we doing prior to COVID? So that's the reality. And Mark, when you start looking at that data, it's still down.
All right. So we've been into this podcast for about 8 minutes now, and I think we've swerved into some pretty harsh realities. Because, you know, you want to say, well, the reason that membership's down is because, hey, we're finally dealing with membership who are not active. And you want to say, well, baptisms are actually up. But, man, you have just really clarified for us that we can't even find really any kind of comfort in those numbers. It's just a tough time to be a denomination. Talk to me about non-denominational churches and how they are doing in comparison to mainline Southern Baptist and other denominations. What is there any data you have on that?
Burge has the data. I mean, he has that data out the wazoo, and he has studied non-denominational churches, and he said they're the only growing evangelical group within the United States, but he is cautious on that. because he's saying that the non-denominational churches are taking on some of the characteristics of the evangelical churches in their heyday, which basically means they're getting a lot of transfer growth.
Okay.
And that's where are they getting the transfer growth? From denominational churches.
Exactly.
And from Roman Catholics. So those are the two sources that are going there. He said that's how most denominational churches grew for a season. And if non-denominational churches don't get to the Great Commission themselves, they are going to be in the same position that we're looking at for most of these declining evangelical churches. So for now, non-denominational is the hot growth area. But Burge, and I agree, is issuing his warning to even them, don't be so dependent upon transfer growth. Celebrate if somebody has come to your church and is really on fire, but don't become dependent on it. It's easy to ignore the Great Commission when there is heavy transfer growth. Mm. And that can be a fatal mistake in a church and in a denomination, or in this case, the non-denomination.
And that possibly was the case among Southern Baptists when we were going through some of our greatest growth years. We were perhaps receiving transfer growth from other denominations, other places, and that's probably true. It's a good word.
Well, it is true, but in defense, there was a period in defense of the SBC, historically, there was a period when the Southern Baptist Convention was growing significantly by baptism, which we parallel with conversion growth in other churches. What we found, this is not bad, but what we found is the vast majority of that evangelistic growth was within families, baptizing kids of the members who were there. What happened is the demographics have moved, and the median age of a Southern Baptist is now approaching 60.
And so we don't have too many kids at 60.
I haven't.
You know.
So the reality of it is, yes, we need to be reaching our own kids, but that was the primary source of conversion growth. I'm glad it happened, but now that our demographics are old, even that source is no longer there.
Wow. Well, this has been 10 minutes or so, some of the most helpful information we've had on this podcast since I've been on a podcast with you. So because most of the time our podcasts are pretty pointless, but this is pretty good stuff. Hey, I want to ask you another question. That's all really good. I've just enjoyed it. Yes. Talk to me, though. I mean, I think you had a little experience working for a denomination. I think you spent time at seminary and had a cup of coffee at Lifeway or something one time. So talk to me about denominations. What's the benefit of being in a denomination today? Well, no, let's start the other way. What's the detriment of being in a denomination today? What's a drawback from? Are there any drawbacks, and what might they be?
Oh, let me reverse it, Mark. Please let me reverse it.
Okay, you reverse it. All right.
I want to do the benefits. Okay. Here's the thing. A church, most churches are likely to become at least a quasi-denominational church at some point. Now, what I mean by that is that even if they don't formally join a denomination or align with a denomination, they will end up aligning with some group. Here's a prime example. In the 60s and the 70s, independent fundamental Baptists were a fast-growing lot. They were independent. But guess what? They organized and they became the independent Baptist fundamentalists, but no, we're not a denomination.
Right.
There is a natural path. There's a natural momentum that goes toward aligning with other churches. Why? Because you don't have all the resources yourself. You don't have all the answers yourself. You don't have all the demographics. You don't have the information that all other churches together can have. So coming together is a good thing, and it is a natural and maybe even a supernatural thing. So denominations can do more together than churches can do apart. That's true for networks that are more loosely defined than denominations. But look. You can look at any independent movement. The fastest growing movement when I was in Louisville as a dean, you mentioned that I've had a cup of coffee in a few places. When I was dean at Southern Seminary, the fastest growing church was Southeast Christian, maybe 22,000 in worship when I was there. I'm not sure its numbers now. And then I look back and I look at what Southeast Christian was doing, and Southeast Christian said, you know what, we can do things better together. And so independent Christian churches formed their own network.
Right.
But they were, no, we're independent. Sure. But you're part of a quasi-denomination. Denominations have a good reason for existence, not to mention doctrinal alignment. I mean, goodness gracious, when you join something, you are saying, this is where I will take my stand biblically. And that has to be a good thing. You can do it individually, but you're joining other churches that are aligned with you doctrinally as well. Those are some good things for denominations.
Well, they are. And, you know, you mentioned networks. There's all kinds of networks, Acts 29, Pillar, all kinds of those. And sometimes it's like guys have a NASCAR and they got all kinds of stickers on their cars. So sometimes a church, you know, I'm a Acts 29, I'm a Pillar, I'm Southern Baptist, I got all these stickers on my car.
Exactly.
That's another podcast for another day. But no, that's a good word. Now, are there challenges related to being in denominations?
Sure. The means can become the end. So when you become a part of a denomination, you need to ask the question, when a church becomes a part of a denomination, to what end? I would want to be a part of a denomination that I was doctrinally aligned and that I was Great Commission active. Those would be Tom Rainer's two defining characteristics of where I would join: doctrinally aligned and Great Commission active. The drawback for a denomination is that it can begin to focus on the secondary, the tertiary, and what goes after that, because you are now focusing upon the institution instead of the purpose.
Yes.
We're picking on Southern Baptists, so I'll just carry this one step further. 1845, Southern Baptist Reform. Why? Because missionaries who were slave owners, or those who were slave owners, wanted to be missionaries. Mm-hmm. So they pulled away from the full Baptist denomination and started the Southern Baptist Convention. As Walter Sheridan wrote in 1972, I mean, that's a long time ago, in his little book called Not a Silent People, Southern Baptists have been defined by disagreement and schism ever since at different points. And when that happens, if you are focusing your energy upon other issues, then you are not focusing your energy on the primary issue. Now, I need to be clear. There are issues for which we need to fight. The truth of Scripture is one of them. Sex abuse is another one. We need to, there are issues where we need to take a stand. Biblical marriage. We could just go down the list of a lot of those issues. And that is not to suggest we shouldn't. But if you are focusing the majority of your history or in an individual church, the majority of your time on everything but the Great Commission, then the end is no longer the Great Commission. Everything else that you're doing becomes your focus. So
even if you have all kinds of Great Commission task force and Great Commission logos and Great Commission promotions, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but you're right. I think it has to do, doesn't it, with the entities. The more entities you have, then the more issues come up with those entities. I remember when you would do at the Southern Baptist Convention every year, when you would give the report for Lifeway, there would always be some individual who would ask a question about a particular book or a particular toy or something that was sold at one of your Lifeway stores. And that would be a big issue to that individual every year, right?
Oh, my goodness. I could never predict where the controversy would come for Lifeway every single year. And if I did predict, I was always wrong, even with the buzz that happened before then. And Mark, what did I do as president of Lifeway? Well, I did a lot of things wrong. But one of the things I did wrong was I spent an inordinate amount of time addressing those issues.
There you go.
If I'm addressing those issues, that means I'm not doing some things I should be doing.
Right. And so that is part of one of the issues of having a denomination. Real quick, I want to wrap this up, and then we'll do the two-part. We're going to do another one, another podcast with you real quick. But what about the entities? What about seminaries and printing houses and mission boards? Not just Southern Baptist, but obviously Southern Baptist, but other. What's the future of entities in the world in which we live now? What do you see about that?
You have to ask the question, what are the entities' purpose for the denomination? And each of those entities have been created at a specific time for a needed purpose. Six seminaries in the Southern Baptist Convention, for example, they were created to have regional presence of seminaries around North America, around the United States, let's say. is that regional presence necessary today? Probably not. I'm not going to argue for going from 6 to 3 to 4. That's not my role. It's not even my role when I was at Lifeway. But we have to ask the question, you know, what did that start? You can go to the sacred heartbeat of the Southern Baptist Convention, the cooperative program. What was the origin of the cooperative program? And are we still focused upon that origin? So rather than say, all the entities are bad or all of the entities are good, and I'm not being evasive, I would say, are they being true to their original purpose, and is it still functioning in that way? Many times we just keep on doing things because we've always done them.
That's true in churches. That's the very question you and I ask churches when we do consultations with them. Why are we still doing, maybe we should have done it 20 years ago, but not today. Hey, we're going to wrap this session up. We're going to pick up with Dr. Rainer in another podcast. These special editions come out every other Friday. So a week from Friday, we'll have the second part of this. We'll be talking about the size of churches, mega churches, all kinds of cool stuff. So thank you, Dr. Rainer, for being with us, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.